Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us so freely your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak your word through all your people, but particularly, Lord, through those who you anoint and you gift to share. And so we just ask for your gifting upon Joel this morning, upon our brother as he shares with us. Lord, we pray that we will not see him, but see you. And Lord, that you will give us all hearts and ears that are ready to receive what it is that you have to speak through him. So the Holy Spirit be upon you, Joel, and speak through you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, I think I'm on. Am I? Can you hear me? Good morning. I have a tendency to sing really loud, so I think I've lost my voice a little bit. I say this every time I speak. Somebody gets up and prays to me and says, "This is Joel, he's studying divinity, he's going to share some thoughts with us." And I always think that gives me a bit of a, too much of a grand introduction. I just want to play down the hype a little bit, but kind of more importantly say, I'm not coming as a student of theology, I'm just coming as part of the community to share some thoughts on the resurrection. And wow, the resurrection, what an amazing morning to be able to speak. What an amazing morning. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Oh, it almost feels like I don't necessarily need to say anything today. Because the power of the resurrection, the power of the fact that Christ died and is risen and is alive, has been communicated by the worship this morning and the time that we've had already. So I'm going to share a few thoughts, and they're going to be very simple thoughts. There will be two of them. A great man and a great preacher once said to me, make your points very clear at the, right at the beginning. So here they are. Christ keeps his word, and Christ is life. Simple, but powerful. Christ keeps his word, and Christ is life. Let's turn to scripture. I've got three readings this morning. The first is Matthew 17, 22 to 23. And you're going to have to be quick to keep up, because the first and the third are very short. So you're going to have quick fingers. Matthew 17, 22 to 23 says this. As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were greatly distressed. Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. And now Galatians 2, verses 20 to 21 say this. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." Scripture has a lot to say in the resurrection. A lot. Too much. Too much for me to understand, definitely. In Matthew and Mark, we have Jesus predicting his death and resurrection three times. In Luke, it appears twice. All four Gospels have an account of the resurrection and of the resurrected, risen Christ continuing his ministry to his disciples. Jesus himself refers to Old Testament stories such as Jonah and the whale, and of the Queen of the South who comes to visit Solomon, seeking his treasures and his wisdom. The book of Acts, which is, of course, a record of the activity of the first church, that book begins with an account of the risen Christ, discipling those around him for 40 days. He continues his ministry for 40 days, and then he promises the Spirit, and he ascends to heaven. And Paul has a lot to say on the resurrection. We've heard some of it already this morning, and I'm not gonna go over the same ground. Chris was talking about how we are crucified with Christ and how we are alive again in Christ. Paul says, and how if we are united with Christ in his death, surely we are also united with Christ in his life. I'm going to share two simple thoughts today. I've said them already. I'll say them again. Christ keeps his word, and Christ is life. Now, in order both to tell you why I'm making these particular points and to help deliver some of the power of these points, I'm going to share some things with you, some quite personal things. Since Friday morning, I was up on the hill with Colin and some others and other folks from some churches in the area. We were up on Blackford Hill at 10 in the morning in the wind and the rain. It was lovely up there, but incredibly powerful service. We had the cross erected, and it was kind of superimposed upon the city. Incredibly powerful. And since then, the Lord has put such joy in my heart, which has been incredible to see this morning. Such joy as we sing about the death of Christ and its power and the new life of Christ. So remembering that joy, before Friday, I was having a really tough week. And actually, when I got to Friday, I got a very, very clear sense from God that he was saying, stop trying to write a talk in the midst of these things that you're dealing with and start trying to form one out of it. Start trying to form your talk out of what you're dealing with. So I'm going to get really serious for a minute. But I think the smile is going to stay on my face because the joy of the Lord is in me and I can see that it's in us as a whole today. So here's what was playing on my heart and on my mind this week. When I was 9 years old, my mother left home. She left my father, my three sisters and me, and there was no promise that she would come back. I remember very explicitly her trying to downplay the significance of the thing. I'm going, sure, but I'm only going to be a short while away, just a short journey. And you know what? I'm going to see you all the time. I very much got the sense that she was saying, it's not going to change our relationship. It didn't really work out like that, perhaps unsurprisingly. I think even when you have flatmates at university or something like that, you realize how difficult it is to stay close to somebody once you're not living with them anymore. But as it was, I saw my mother about once a week from then on and spoke to her on the phone a couple of times a week, and it just wasn't the same. And what I've realized this week is that I carry a really deep scar from that now. As an adult, when the people who are close to me say, I'm going away for a while, it's okay, I'm coming back, I find that really difficult to believe. And when they say, of course it won't change our relationship, we'll still be as close, we'll still be really good friends, I find that incredibly difficult to believe. Christ tells his disciples, I'm going away. I'm coming back. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and they're going to crucify me. But the Son of God will be raised on the third day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what an amazing thing. Christ was obedient to the point of death. Christ was faithful to the point of death. And Christ was faithful to the point of new life. He says, I will rise again. And he does. He keeps his word, simple as that. Christ keeps his word, Christ is faithful. And that was a little caveat. I want to say, and I want to make it clear that I'm not implying that my mother is any more broken than any of us. I love her dearly and I love her to bits. We're all broken, we've all sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And the fact is, we experience things in life that hurt us. We experience things that scar us. And I think we can all share the experience of having a promise made to us that's not been kept. Christ keeps his promise. The Bible, the scripture is full of promises, and what an incredible one this is. I'm going to die, I must die, but I'm going to rise again. Death will not hold me. Wow, hallelujah. So here is point number one, Christ keeps his word. Point number two, Christ is life. Even though my parents' divorce and some other things that happened around about that time were 13, 14 years ago now, I've had lots of weeks like this where I've realized scars that I carry and I've dealt with the difficulty of that. Where I've really felt at the mercy of what people did and said and people's choices when I was a child. At times, particularly, for example, in this week, I felt suffocated and imprisoned by the things that people have done. My choices that other people made and things that other people did and said. But you know, on Friday, I'm free. Yeah. I'm absolutely free. And yes, I do have a hole in my jumper. It's a bit embarrassing that the smartest jumper I have has a hole in it. So I was like, it's all right, I'll wear it. And I'll gesture with this hand and keep this one in there. But you know what? I don't care because I'm free. Amen. I'm free from the restrictions of fashion. And I'm not imprisoned. I'm not imprisoned. At times, particularly over the last few years, I've felt, am I just some sort of product of what other people have done? Am I just a bunch of consequences of what other people have done? And can I actually escape these sorts of scars and burdens? Yeah. Yes, 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 I can. And we all can. Christ is life. I love this little bit in Galatians. I know it's not very traditional to read from Paul on Easter Sunday. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. Christ cannot live in me unless Christ is living. Simple as that. If all we have is Friday, if all we have is the cross, then we do not have a living God. We do not have a living Christ who lives in us. And then the next bit. And the life I now live in the flesh, I have by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We cannot have faith in the Son of God unless there is a Son of God. We can't have faith in a memory. We have faith in a person. And that person is alive. If all we have is Friday, if all we have is the cross, then there's no Christ to live in us. And there's no Christ to have faith in. And you know what? My identity is in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The things that I've suffered in my life, the things that we have suffered in our lives, the things that we struggle with are still very real. It's not that on Friday I had this epiphany and, oh, finally I'm no longer affected by the things of the world, the things that I've experienced in my family. Of course not. But we're free from them. Free from the power of them. Christ offers us life. And he offers to be the life in us. Amazing. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. I think that's all I have to say. Oh wait, I should sum up. Christ keeps his word. And Christ is life. Christ is faithful. And Christ is life. I've had a smile on my face the whole time. But I'm aware that I have shared some quite personal things. If things have been stirred up in folks, I would love to pray for you, and I would love for people to get prayed for. Come and find me in this corner. Or come and find any number of people. I'll put the request out. Can some folks just come down to pray for people? Lots does go on in our lives. But Christ offers his life, and Christ will always be faithful. And in order for us to have faith in him, yes, he has to be alive. And we have to trust that he is faithful. And what better way to show us that he's faithful than to say, I'm coming back, and for him to come back. He's risen, he's risen, he's risen. Amen. What an amazing morning. Someone said to me, sorry, I'm going on a little bit. Well, we've got time. Someone said to me, happy Easter this morning. And I thought, yeah, happy Easter. But joyous Easter, right? Joyous. Happy, obviously happy. It's good, but it feels a bit weak. Joyous, joyous Easter. Joyous day. And Christ is risen. Christ is alive, and Christ is alive in us. Amazing. I won't go on. Do we have anything planned next, Colin? Can I invite some folks then to come down, just to be ready to pray with folks? I'm going to be in the corner as well.
So let's do that. So Joel, if you can back Joel up as he goes over there, and if you want to be just...